We're the only ones in this room that are old enough to remember G.R. Huey.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's true. Yeah. Those are the days. I mean, we got to go into the future, you know.
Yeah.
But we miss the past in a way. It's an interesting tug of war, isn't the nostalgia?
Yeah, those were easier, simpler times.
So much, yeah. Right?
You only had three stations on TV.
You had to get up and turn the dial, and the parents said, don't turn it so fast, you're going to ruin it. Yeah. Remember?
I remember that.
We had a Zenith, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I remember Zenith. We had a black and white TV for the longest time, and then we got a color Sony color TV. That was the first color TV we got.
The Sony color? Yeah. Oh, wow.
My dad was not advanced. Happy buying that. Because, why are we sending the money to Japanese? Isn't there an American brand we can buy?
Love it, your dad. Yeah, he's great.
He used to drive a Ford LTD.
Wow.
Remember that?
And
he would never buy anything other than a Ford.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's buy a good American brand. That was his thing.
Because it's dependable, right?
It's dependable.
It got you where you wanted to go.
They cost less. They're easier to maintain in the sense that you can go to any... If they break, you go to any shop, it gets fixed right away, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then plus, it's all about make in America, right?
Wow.
He was really committed to that.
That's awesome.
And then ultimately, the kids won. Yeah. They're like... Yeah, you could take a Ford to any shop and get it fixed really fast, but Toyota never breaks down, Dad. We're going Toyota.
Your dad sounds like a practical man.
Was he practical? Yes, he was very practical. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he's...
God love him, man. Yeah. God love him. Good for you.
He loved America.
Be close to your mom, man.
He loved America. He loved being American.
Yeah,
that was his thing.
Is it the land of opportunity?
Land of opportunities, give him a new life. Basically, he was reborn when he came to America. So,
wow, did you say reborn when he came?
In other words, it was like a rebirth for him. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I love that though. I love the whole concept of East meeting West. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Because the East has such beautiful philosophies and such great spiritual, just so much history. Yeah. And then it comes to a country that's only 200 years old. They have doors in England that are older than our country.
That's right.
So it's kind of what we're talking about today is old technology meeting new technology and the growth that's going to happen and the opportunities that come of that.
Yeah.
And so I can't tell you how excited I am to meet you. What an honor it is. I get emotional. Okay. I'll tell you why. But I've been surrounded by angels my whole life. And so this is to meet a real physical angel and what I believe is an angel. People that watch over you, believe in you, and contribute to making other people's dreams become a reality.
Uh-huh.
I know you do it in many ways. We have more connections than you probably realize because I looked in a little bit.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay.
But I think that's fabulous.
I think I would call it a virtual angel because it's all electronic.
Well, that's that, but I'm talking about you.
About me personally.
And you personally, and then you bringing the artificial angel AI, which we're going to talk about as well.
Uh-huh.
But I don't look past the creator and the innovator, which is you.
Oh, well, thank you.
So thank you. And as we look at the virtual angel and materialize that, one of the things that really inspired me is your message of bringing humanness to technology. Because so many people are afraid that the human element is going to be pushed out. And you don't do that. You embrace it.
Yeah.
And that's what's innovative and just wonderful.
Yeah, technology could be used in two ways. One, it could be used to concentrate wealth. That's if you push the human element out, you end up concentrating wealth. Right? And you start creating a divide. And we can talk about practically how that happens in the banking industry and just in industry in general. Or if you build technology from the ground up with the human element and a human cause behind it, then technology is used to create wealth and push out wealth, not concentrate wealth.
Wow.
Right. So it's a philosophical difference, right? And unfortunately with Adam Smith economics, everyone's out to get it for themselves, and too many mega corporations, all they care about is their bottom line profit. Mm-hmm. And that's short term, next quarter, right? And if you start looking at it long term, and you realize there's actually more profit in the long term, when you push wealth out across the board,
right?
You know, ultimately, like, technology cannot consume itself, right? You could build the best technology, but if there's no one there to use it, if no one's there with money to buy it,
right?
What's the point of it?
Exactly.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to create something that's going to create wealth.
Right.
And economic activity. Wealth means economic activity and productivity at all levels of society, not just a few.
Right.
Right. And that then ultimately that cycle has to complete.
And how does that cycle complete fully? How do you see that? The cycle is complete.
Well, when you create a product that empowers everyone, right?
Wow.
Now everyone has wealth, they have money to spend, and a corporation who's a producer,
yes,
can have somebody sell too.
Yes. So when we look at the two philosophies, we look at, you know, the evil, which is part of it is where people use power to corrupt and to possess themselves. And then we look at the angel, and the other philosophy is that you generate and give. And there's a spiritual component about that too, is what you put out tends to come back.
Right.
And so you can share it. You don't have to, it's really the people that are on the other side that are really in fear, right?
Yes.
They're the ones in fear. They're afraid of losing influence and power.
Losing power, right. And then they use the systems, the political influences, they use their wealth to create barriers and to create speed bumps so other people cannot enter their domain. Right?
Right.
And if we were to take a step back further and look at the problems that we are debating about in this election cycle, for example, like climate change and wealth inequality and things like that, right? Why are those things happening? It's because we, as an economic process and as a social philosophy, right, is so focused on individual, just completely hyper-focused on individual wealth.
Right.
Right. And whether that's the individual working in the corporation or the corporation itself.
Right.
Itself, right? Everyone in these organizations is out to get it for themselves, right? And they're backstabbing each other in the politics game. And then the corporations themselves have that culture, and then they're fighting with each other. And all of this creates, no one's thinking about the larger picture, the balance between nature and humanity. If it's not a balance, you can gain wealth for a certain period of time, but ultimately, you still got to...
It's going to fizzle, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. So I would define pollution bigger than just... It's a term not just about, you know, how much smoke did you put in the air and whatever, right? How much toxins did you put in the water.
Yeah.
But pollution is a pollution of the mind. It's a pollution of the spirit, right? And if you pollute your spirit, if you conduct yourself in a manner where negative spirit spreads through society, then you're not going to ever be able to have a balanced economics.
And it is in the mind, but the mind also, you know, which where thoughts come from, right? The thoughts become considerations, which become people's viewpoints, which then get communicated out into the world.
Right.
And so really, on a very high level, you have conflicting viewpoints and considerations of how to best survive as a race, as a human people, you know? and bridging that connection. And one of our connecting points, as I said earlier, is we have that same philosophy about not possessing power, but flowing power.
Yeah.
Because when you can flow power to someone else, which Angel AI does, we'll get into that too, but it flows power. It doesn't possess power. And the scary part I want to talk to you about too is when you flow power to somebody who's not used to having it, and I define power as the ability to influence, right? Whether it's yourself or others or your real estate investments or your company. Some people are scared of that power. They want to be connected to it and close to it, but they're afraid because when they feel that power themselves, it's something foreign and unknown. How do you coach people in changing that mindset that don't be afraid of the power that you're going to all of a sudden have that you didn't have yesterday?
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. It's a good question. That's a really good question. I would say that I don't think it's a concern because unless, here's an example of getting power all of a sudden, right? Is winning the lottery.
Right. And you see what happens to those people.
Right. But that's the one in a billion, whatever the odds are, winning 100 million, somebody wins the lottery and they're not conditioned to it. And then they end up, most of those people end up back to where they were before they won the lottery.
Yeah.
So, but if you flow power in a consistent, steady way where there's a two-way process where both sides are working, right? In other words, just like let's say in martial arts.
Okay.
Like the martial arts master is flowing power to the student. But the student, he's working and the student's working and they're both growing together,
So
when you flow power properly, right, then both sides are growing, right? The teacher
teaches.
The teacher teaches. It isn't. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just teach for the fees. He teaches because he gets better.
That's
part of teaching.
I have, if I can, just take a pause for a second. I have a gift for you. I had a bag here. But it's just right on the topic that we're talking about. Can I have that bag for a second? Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Because I didn't come here just to get. I came here to give.
And thank you.
I don't know if you have this or if you need it, but it's just so apropos to what you just were talking about.
Wow, this is great. I heard about this book. Yeah.
This is my cousin. Negotiations as a martial art.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and a lot of the philosophies will
I would
be
definitely,
there.
Definitely read it.
Please.
I have a long flight back to Puerto Rico. I should be able to finish it in the way.
It's wonderful. Anyway, so that's fantastic.
So to tell me, is this how you win in poker over and over again?
Wow, what a great question. Well, there's many elements come to winning, you know, and defining what winning actually is. I've been blessed. I've won over 20 major tournaments and, you know, I don't even think I knew what winning was when I started. But as to how to win, you definitely have to be willing to lose. You have to give up what you're attached to.
That's a very good point.
You know, in order to realize, while everybody's trying to, you know, chase something, it moves farther away from you. So you almost got to let go of the end and just focus on execution and what you're doing in the moment. And then just have really great self-confidence and self-determination. It's that willpower, not just willpower, but self-determination, that you're doing it and what you're focused on and aligning that to a worthwhile purpose. I think that's how you win.
So how do you find that self-confidence? And especially you've got a lot of money at stake. You're playing against the best, millions of dollars in this tournament.
Yes.
And you're on, you know, you're playing the hand where you could make or lose everything.
Yes.
Yet you stay calm and find that confidence. How do you do it?
Yes. Great question. The way I do it is skill and preparation. You know, somebody said winning comes about when skill meets opportunity and talent, you know. And so I'm always training, I'm always developing myself. You know, the path of human beings is growth and adapting and, you know, and learning. And that's our growth here. And so it's hard to keep up with the changes in the game. And that's why I was so excited to meet you, because I feel at some sense I'm falling behind a little bit and I don't know what I exactly need to keep up. And so when I found the Angel, you and the innovator of Angel AI, or creator, do you think of yourself as a creator or an innovator?
I think of myself as an engineer, so whatever that is, I don't know. I guess a creator.
Right. Creator,
I build stuff.
Because it's definitely, anyway, to fully finish that answer, so I find confidence within myself. You know, confidence for me is your belief and ability to accomplish something. You're not confident in the beginning of tying your shoes, but after you've done it a million times, which takes discipline and somebody to show you how to do it, and then you do it repetitively, you gain that confidence. And when you can look at the things that you've done, your body of work, and you've succeeded, your confidence grows. So the first championship, which I won, took me 5 years. And a lot of that was overcoming my belief that I was enough. Could I actually do it? But then once I did it, I won 9 more that next year.
That's a good point, is what they say about making your first million is the hardest.
That's right.
It's the same point, because that first million, the challenge is you're getting all these your own internal distractions plus outside distraction, everyone telling you you can't do it.
That's right.
And you end up making the wrong decisions along the way.
And I'll tell you what else is the hardest. Losing the first million is also the hardest.
Yes, anyone who's made the million has also lost a million.
That's right, you know, because as hard as you work to get it, you know.
It goes away just as fast.
It flows.
Right, right.
It's all about, I guess, you know, it's about managing flow, right?
Right, yes.
Which as we get into talking about Angel AI and looking at that, I love your example of the maze and the mouse and the maze. Yeah. And
oh, you looked into that?
Of course. Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. You know, and I love the irony. It's a maze, but what you've done with it is amazing.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes.
You know, it finds its way.
Right.
And with Angel AI, it takes all that guesswork out of it and just makes something so efficient. And makes home buying not just a dream, but become reality. And it happened to me. You know, Karina Jett, who is one of our players, got me in my first home when I didn't think I had a chance, and found a way.
Yeah.
You know, and I just love that, because the American dream, the first dream, is home ownership.
Right. Well, and if you don't buy something and own something, you can't build wealth, because it's assets accrete money.
Right? What's that? Assets.
Assets accrete money.
Right? Assets accrete money.
Yeah. So if you don't own assets, right? The key to being wealthy is to be able to make money in your sleep.
Yes.
That means your money has to be invested in the right assets that are making money, that are growing. Right. And rent, for example, is you don't own anything. That thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing grows other than your landlord's bank account.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, real estate is the easiest asset to own in America because of our great president, FDR.
Yes.
Right. And he created the Federal Housing Administration, and that made credit easy for all Americans to own real estate. And obviously a big country with lots of real estate to own.
Wow.
Right. So if you own real estate and you can get the credit guarantees from the government, and now everyone can own something that's going to rise in value, right? Basically, you're making money in your sleep.
Wow.
Right. So that's why what we do is so important. But in general, what we want to do is use artificial intelligence so that it makes it easy for everyone to do it, right?
Right.
Because even though there's all these government programs and everything, now the biggest problem is that there's too many government programs. There's too many options, right?
Yeah.
And the whole process is intimidating because there's so much paperwork. And so many
I think you said it's like paperwork stacked 20 feet high or something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's so many regulations, so many paperwork, and people are just intimidated by the process. So in our our government's infinite wisdom, trying to make the process safer also made the process more intimidating and complicated.
Right.
But that's a perfect problem for technology to solve.
Yeah,
right. And technology can zip through all of that and give you answers, and that's what we do.
That's amazing,
right?
So and it hits. You know, I'm sure there's going to be all different economic backgrounds that are going to be watching this podcast, right? Yeah. From the consumer who's trying to get into their first home to a guy who's got four homes, he's got a lot of money, right? And he hears you talk about investment, and he knows that. You know, it's earn, save, and invest. And he's on step three. He wants to invest, right? He hears it, and if he's checked this product out, he knows you.
Yes.
How does he invest? How does he invest in Angel AI? Can he do it?
Well, I would put it the other way. Angel AI invests in you.
Wow.
Right? You don't invest in Angel AI.
On every level.
Right, on every level, because it's accessible, it's open, it's free. So it's giving to you, and you can then use it to help guide better financial decisions.
Right.
Okay, and that's how it works. So if it empowers you with information and the tools, and that's why we call it, that's why it's an angel, it's a guardian angel.
Right, and I love that. Yeah. I love that concept, and I love the logo that you have of the ballerina up on point.
Yeah.
Here's another connecting point. I told you we'd have connecting points. When I was a little boy, growing up in a little small town of Albion, Michigan, I didn't even have my own room, and then my sister got moved up or into another, and I got in her room. I have to preface that because now I have this poster on my wall, and it's a ballerina up on point.
Wow, nice.
And under there was the saying, if you believe it, you can achieve it. If you dream it, you can become it.
Well, it's so close to what we say. Nothing is beyond reach.
Yes. Yeah. And it's up there. It's just elegant and it's beautiful. Yeah. When you think of angels and how you've branded this and how you do it, what's an angel to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think angels are all around us.
I think so too.
It's, look at this room, the people in this room.
Yeah.
Everyone's here is an angel. Of course, Jenny's my favorite angel sitting back there.
Yes.
Angel is the spirit that we... You know, we can either release a spirit and a vibration that helps people and lifts people, right? Or we can release a spirit that destroys people, right?
Amen. So, amen.
So the angel is that energy that we
within each of us.
Within each of us, right? Yes, and the energy that we release.
Yes.
And the impact that, like, so when you're sitting on that poker table, you're releasing an energy.
That's right.
And I think that's what mindset is all about, is if you, I truly believe that if you release the right energy, right, and a more powerful energy than the other players on that table.
That's right.
You will win that hand.
So you'll notice, I don't know if you've ever seen any of my past footage, but I'm the guy that's on the table singing, trying to break through this, you know, everybody's trying to act like a computer with their glasses and they're trying not to move. They're in fear.
Yeah.
They're trapped, you know? They're trying to be something they're not, which is the computer.
Yeah.
The computer is a tool to help you become more human, which Arthur Miller said, means to be less alone.
I like that. It's a good one. Yeah, so that actually makes sense.
Yeah. So my function on the poker table is to lighten everybody, to enlighten them, and to inspire and motivate, because that's the only way. Now they're in flow. Their chips are in the middle. I can play. Otherwise, they're just sitting back like this. Yeah. You know.
Do you get a lot of pushback on that? Do people get irritated with that kind of style?
Well, there'll be one or two evil ones. I told you. Uh-huh. You know. But I'm so over the top. My passion and love.
Yeah.
for the game and what I'm doing is so pure that they can't really do it. They can't resist it.
Okay.
Because it'll just overpower. You know, when you encounter resistance, which in poker you have intention and counter-intention, your intention must override the other players.
Yeah.
My view on it is if I'm in a tournament with 500 other people, I have to convince 499 of them that I'm the champion. If one of them disagrees, I finish second.
Yeah, that's right.
So I have to have a very strong viewpoint and belief in what I'm doing to override that counter-intention.
Now, you've won so many times in so many tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in that process, you've created haters and
no, I really don't.
No?
I don't. I'm known as the nice guy of poker because I embrace even resistance. I embrace never resist, you know. So, you know, when I encounter that, I transform it and transmute it. So I don't know you're going to find somebody who says they hate Kenneth James.
Oh, okay. I'd be that's great. It's like Bruce Lee, you know, you flow with your opponent.
That's correct. Right. That's correct.
And you use your opponent's strength against them.
Yeah. You know, true. And you'll find that in the book too. Uh-huh. You know, opponent is just somebody who's opposing what you're doing. They're not an enemy. An enemy is somebody totally different.
Yeah.
But we need opponents in a game, right? Yeah. They're so valuable to us. They're there to help us test our self-discipline, our patience, our understanding, you know, and challenge that, and then push through that too. So poker is a game where you can learn life skills if you know what to look for and how to relate it, you know, so that every loss, if you have a loss, you can usually find it has to do with some element in yourself.
Okay, so early on in your career
in
poker, what is the big lesson, big life skill that you learned the hard way?
Or the
easy way?
Oh, the hard way.
Either way you want to answer it. Hard way or easy way. But the real question is, what is a big life lesson you learned?
Keep your ego in check.
Good one.
The game will humble you. You know, the old sayings, they all come, you know, the pride comes before the fall. When you start getting recognition and you start getting money and you start getting all these things, it's very easy to buy into the game. And then the game becomes bigger than you, and then you become subject to the game. And all of a sudden, you're just like a rat on a rat wheel going around. So around 2011, I found my way off the rat wheel, reconnected with my family, and, you know, I was in such pursuit of a career and, you know, all this recognition, you know, this, right? So I bought into that, and it was a hard lesson to learn that, hey, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. You know, Kenneth James is not who I am. It's a role that I play in life.
You have a stage presence, and
that's right. Yeah.
So what you're saying is you learn to separate.
I learned very
to separate
good.
The
Thank you.
Right.
That's right.
Right. You can't, I'm not sure if you'd want this out there, but there is, you're an entertainer.
Yes,
you're
absolutely.
You're a performer.
Right? Absolutely.
All athletes are performers.
Yes.
Right.
And
if you don't perform, doesn't matter how good an athlete you are,
you're
not going to be successful.
Right. So people get lost and they lose themselves in the role.
Yes, that's right.
And so when that happens, that's a hard lesson to learn.
Yeah.
But I was blessed with mentors, great mentors in my life that took me up at that time.
So talk to me about that. Which mentor really stands out to you?
My dear mentor, this guy here. Can I show you this?
Yes.
I don't know if this is the original script. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. That's the original script of the movie The Hustler.
Which
made a sequel called The Color of Money.
Yes.
About Fast Eddie. Paul Newman played him in the movie.
Yes, I remember. I did see this movie, yes.
He was my mentor.
Robert Rosen?
He's the director. Okay. No, Fast Eddie. Newman plays in the movie.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Was my mentor. And this is the original script from the movie. So he came in and from the streets of New York, you know, grew up in the pool halls, and he did all that, and then became this just tremendous life coach. So he taught me a lot of those things that found balance.
Fascinating. So how did you meet Fast Eddie?
Another poker friend of mine, he lived here in Las Vegas, he recently passed away. God love him. So he's one of my angels now, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm sure has navigated something here. Introduced me to him. I was winning millions of dollars, but my marriage was failing. I lost my house. My dog ran away. You know, so professionally I was a success, but personally I was a mess. And he said, you should go talk to Eddie. Eddie, who's Eddie? I said, just go see this guy. And so that's how I met him. And I walked up and this old man opens the door and, hello, as if he recognized me.
Yeah.
and we walked in, and for the next 15 years was an amazing journey.
So can you share with me and the audience?
Sure.
Like, you know, you were successful professionally, mm-hmm. but clearly you were sending out the wrong kind of vibration, the wrong kind of spirit that was causing other parts of your life.
Right, other dynamics in my life, yeah.
To not go well. So what are some of the coaching, some of the things you can share that people can apply, that they can learn from you? There's real value that people can. Because I know there's everyone in their lives right now is struggling with some form of negative energy that's
coming
out.
Right. So, great question. The first thing I would say is never resist. Resistance is when you're trying to prevent something from happening that you don't want to have happen or experience. And so when you resist something, you actually, even in physics, you'll notice you'll attract it.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So people think it's natural. Well, no, I don't want that to happen. And then they actively try to prevent it from happening. Mm-hmm. Like in poker, for example, people resist losing. Mm-hmm. Well, they end up losing most of the time, you know. They're trying not to lose. I say play to win. Don't play not to lose. Right. And there's a big difference. But in life as well, you know, when you resist coming for an interview because you're afraid, I don't know what I'm going to say, you're going to screw it up. You know, well, I don't talk well. It's all forms of resistance. So what you have to recognize, and as a coach and myself, and I help people to recognize their own resistance. Why? So that they can then confront it.
Makes sense.
And move through it. And then that they grow. So to spot our own personal resistance is a challenge because we keep it hidden, you know?
Yeah. So in other words, you can't fight the flow of the universe. The universe is...
Well, you can, but you're going to lose.
You're going to lose, right?
Yeah. You can try and push water uphill, but it ain't going to go.
It's not going to happen.
Right? Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. As hard as you want.
Right.
It's the same thing. Like, so what's... You have to understand, you have to feel the flow.
Yes.
Understand it. And it's like what you said, like you felt like coming here today and meeting me and doing this interview.
I knew it was going to be magic.
Yeah, and you felt it and you just
I knew it. I knew it. Yeah, now I went with it. I was giddy. I knew it. Like I knew many. I can see the synchronicity of things. And where it leads, I don't know. Yeah. All I know is we're in flow.
Yeah.
And flow is, you know, the movement of energy and particles in a particular direction or pattern, like that maze, you know.
Yeah.
And when things flow, it's natural. You don't have to try.
Yeah.
It's like this interview. We didn't, plan it. We just hey, how you doing? Sit down.
Yeah. That's right. And it just
happens. Flows. It just happens.
Yeah.
And that's when magic happens.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing. And I'll share one more thing if you if you'd like me to.
Yeah, of course.
Grant beingness.
Say that again.
Grant beingness.
Grant beingness. Okay.
Beingness. It means to allow someone or something to exist as they are without the need to alter or change them.
That's good advice.
So often we're on our own agenda, you know, when it's our own opinion that makes someone else's opinion wrong, you know, or that they're wrong or they're doing this. Why not just allow them to have their viewpoint? Doesn't, you can acknowledge it without agreeing to it.
Yes.
You know, oh, really? I understand. I mean, as human beings, we're trying to look for connection. We're trying to look for interaction. We're trying to look for understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And when you're already like this, you know,
yeah.
You're like at a tug of war, you know. Yeah. Nobody wins a debate.
Yeah.
I heard a great saying. He said one time, he says, the quickest way to end an argument, you know what it is?
Is to accept.
Agree with the other side.
Yeah, agree with the other side. Yeah, exactly.
Grant Venus, if you know, a flower is being a flower, a tree is being a tree,
right.
You know, a human being who's being an can I say that? I'm sorry. But, you know, we have them on the poker table sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to resist that.
Yeah.
I can allow him to be whatever he's creating at that moment.
Right. Right. That negative energy will bounce back at him anyways.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right.
He'll learn in his own time.
Right.
I feel empathy, actually, for that person. Yeah. You know, I feel empathy because I know the journey ahead. And because I've been there myself, it gives me greater understanding. And I like something you said that was really, really impactful around handling fear. Because I think fear is such a debilitating emotion. But you said that when you have understanding, it replaces fear.
Yes.
And I think that's so important because so many of us, you know, are struggling to survive, and we're fearful. We're worried that things aren't going to work out.
Yes, it's the fear of the dark, right? I mean, from when you're a kid, you're afraid of the dark room. When you get older, it's a different kind of darkness. Right?
Wow.
Right? So it's the same thing. But I think Grant beingness, I think another way to say it, is mutual respect.
Yes.
Right. So as long as you just respect everything that's around you, and I think this. It's not just about between human beings, but I think it's between us and our environment, our planet, our, you know, our existence, right? You have to, if you don't respect the environment and how things work,
right?
That's pollution.
Yes.
Right, and that comes back.
Wow. Right? So you're cleaning up the world.
Well, I can talk about it.
Oh my God!
We can all, what a great mission. We can all clean up a little bit,
right?
If we just,
what's your passion? I mean, obviously you're wearing it, but tell me a little bit about your passion. What motivates you? What gets you up in the morning? What gets you? I mean, you could easily go to sleep and not just sit Mai Tais on a beach, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And selfishly just sit on your yacht. What gets your gets you moving, man?
That's a great question because, you know, and especially since I live in Puerto Rico, I could sit on the beach and drink rum and Mai Tai all day long. But number one, I don't drink.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'll take a sip every now and then, but
I don't
enjoy it. Number two, if I sat on the beach all day long, then I'd get really, really out of shape, and that's not good either.
Right. Gotcha. So you see the consequences. You see the consequences of success. Is that it?
Exactly. No one's going to want to see me, you know, on the beach then. So I don't think anyone wants to see me on the beach now anyway. So
I don't know about that. You're pretty good shape.
Yeah. So, but I think... I feel there's a purpose. I feel I'm here. I'm doing a purpose, and if I stop doing my purpose, then this game is over. I run out of quarters, you know.
Yeah.
In my video game, the lives are over, and then I got to put another quarter and start again, right?
Yeah.
So I do it because there's no purpose. And I can feel like what I'm doing has a big purpose, a big impact, and it's helping a lot of people and will help a lot more people.
Wow.
So how can I stop? Right.
I love it. I love it. You know,
and it starts from the simplest things, whether it's having these kinds of conversations and putting this kind of content out there, which educates people, or the staff, my staff that I work with on a daily basis, and I'm constantly educating them, sharing my knowledge with them, teaching them, whether it's teaching them engineering or business or whatever it is. Hopefully they're listening. Hopefully they absorbing. Yeah, yes. Absorbing some of that information and learning from it, right? And changing their lives a little bit, right?
So
if I could do some of that somewhere.
It's inspiring, right. Isn't it?
Yeah, because what am I going to do sitting on the beach drinking my tea, right? Then everything God gave me is like, he's going to look at me, he's going to say, this was for nothing. It's not why I gave you this stuff.
Right.
Right?
It's so beautiful.
Right?
So
because, beautiful. And I think the other thing that we all have to understand is whatever wealth, success, money that we make or don't make, none of it belongs to us. It belongs to the big guy.
Yeah.
Right? And we're just
stewards. Just flowing through us, right?
Right. Or in other words, we're just stewards. So if we're bad stewards, then he'll take it.
Mm. Right. So beautiful.
Right. Eventually, sooner or later, it'll end. It always ends. Yeah. I mean, we're all going to die. It's all going to end.
Yeah.
And it's the matter of how, what you do in between and how you get there.
Well, they say, poker is a lot like life. You're born broke, you die broke, everything in between is just standard deviation.
Yeah, that's...
how do you live, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And here's another connecting point for us is that that's my passion, is inspiring others to reach their full potential.
Yeah.
I had a younger sister who was born with Down syndrome, and she was my greatest teacher probably.
Wow.
Because I saw firsthand what she had to deal with on a daily basis. And some of the challenges that she went through and wasn't able, even with that condition, to reach her full potential. But that in turn inspired me to help others to do just that. And one of the connecting points was I see Angel AI is the vehicle, the bus, if you will, the train to help people reach their full potential. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm with you, and I hope you will honor me by offering me not just a shirt and a hat and a patch and represent your brand as a sponsored player here at the World Series of Poker, but that you'll bring me on as a voice for the greater good of what we're doing, which is cleaning up the environment, both physically, mentally, and spiritually, so that we can help people realize their full potential.
I like it.
Would you allow me to do that?
Absolutely. I couldn't think of a better person.
Thank you so much.